have the most powerful motherfucking man that is so deeply trustworthy, and you will not be able to receive him. Right? Again, biggest desire of women that I work with. I want to be met by a man. So many women aren't yet ready for that because they're still playing out so many patterns of control and so many patterns of trying to keep their man in a box that makes them comfortable. When deep down, they don't want a man that makes them comfortable. They want a man that makes them feel safe, but not necessarily a man that makes them feel comfortable.
Yo, 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 lovers. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. We're the O'Neills. You're here with Megan Jacob.
And this is the place we have really uncensored conversations about sex, intimacy, and relationships. We're super excited you're here. Enjoy this episode.
All right, love. So this one. How did you know what was it that made you both stay and work on the relationship when you were 5 years in the repulsive stage and agreeable next stage?
How do we know you're like wired to stay?
What was it that made you both stay and work on the relationship instead of throwing the towel in?
I think my answer to this is so simple. I always know relationships take work. And I never had the expectation that I was just going to find my person and it was going to be happily ever after. So I just knew this is a moment and I'm going to speak my desires and I'm going to bring more, I'm going to ask for what I want and then we'll go from there. Yeah.
I think you'll know when it's time to leave. And if you've put in some of that work and you haven't been met on that level and that person isn't meeting you, and the word that I always use is this other person willing? They don't have to get it right. They don't have to know what to do or how to do it, but are they willing to meet me as we continue to deepen?
Yeah.
And that was I always said that I was willing. And every time there was an invitation to deepen, I was like, am I willing to lean into this? And the answer was yes. And I feel like if anyone's in that stage in their relationship where they keep on leaning in, willing, 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 and their partner isn't coming back to them with that level of willingness, that is information. That is data. And that is, if you're choosing to deny that over 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, whatever your threshold is, you have to eventually take a look back, like, hang on, this person isn't willing. And you have your threshold for that. But that's the way that whilst ever I'm willing, I'm in. Awesome. Shall we pass it out? Does anyone have any questions from the crowd? Anyone wanting to ask a question?
Yeah, to follow on off that, were there points within your relationship that you did in your life that done was it's
6 months in, I actually, we've told this story many times, but we weren't living together yet. I just had this feeling like I knew exactly what I wanted, and I wanted someone that really wanted partnership and really wanted to grow and like live this expansive life. And I just didn't feel that willingness from Jacob at the time. And I knew it myself. I was never going to force him to be that. And so I was house-sitting in Byron at the time. And I did not know this until years later, but I called Jacob to have a conversation. He was in his hometown in Weewar visiting his parents, and he was naked about to get into the shower. So I've had this really serious conversation. He's just full nude in his, like, family bathroom. And I think I shared that with him. I just shared, like, hey, like, this is my desire, and I really said I would love it to be you. Like, I would love you to be the one that grows with me and chooses this with me, and I also don't want to force you to be that. And it was such a I really worked on this for like a week up until that conversation to really let go of any part of me that wanted to give him an ultimatum and like was like hung up on me being him. And yeah, so that was a really powerful conversation that we had. Do you want to tell your perspective of that?
That to me was like a catalyst, or like a form of invitation rather than an obligation or an expectation. It's like, hey, this is what I want. This is where I'm going. Would you like to be that person? Would you like to grow and continue along this path with me? If yes, awesome. If no, awesome. I feel there's been like times in our relationship where we've had to like reassess what going all in is. And there's been times when there's been times where I have felt not worthy of the relationship, and my reality starts to start crumbling down. End up with no money. I end up with no belief in myself. And there's been moments where I haven't felt worthy, and I've always wanted to step away from the relationship because of that. And it's in those moments that Meg's done a really fucking good job of not just loving me for where I'm at, but reminding me of what I'm capable of. And that, like, that's Jason, I was speaking about this kind of the feminine oracle as a form of feminine leadership. It's like when I'm down and out and I've forgotten who the fuck I am, and she says, don't you remember, you're Jacob fucking O'Neill, like you're that motherfucker, like let's go. When she does that in her own way, whether it's a touch of like, whether it's just a hand on the back, or whether it's, you know, sometimes it's stern words, it's like, let's fucking go. And I feel like as we've journeyed, we've learned how to support each other in that as well. When we can see that the other person's stuck, and we're able to call, like, welcome where they're at, but call them forward. And that's just, like, that is the, I feel so many people want to, will love who they want their partner to become, and then criticize who they are. It's like, I'll love you when, and right now you're not enough. Or right now you're being too much, I need you to be this. And that's where we get things mixed up, I believe. So I would say there hasn't been too many times where we've felt like it's going to fully dissolve, but there's been moments where I haven't believed that the relationship is where I'm meant to be, or I haven't felt like I'm worthy of it. Yeah.
I've got two questions. The first one is YouTube answer, and the second one is for you, Dutton. How do you guys deal with leadership in your relationship? I heard in your share major in podcast, you talked about the feminine setting a vision for the relationship and the feminine leadership as leader in the relationship. I'm curious about how you two operate as the leadership.
I would be curious to hear your answer, but I actually don't think it's a conscious thing. I think we're both aware that we have our own flavors of leadership, and it's not, I just get so fucking fired up with like really dogmatic polarity and like this idea that it's just like the man leads and the man makes all the decisions and all of that. And I just think it literally just puts women back in the box we have been, you know, told to fit into. And I truly believe when a woman unleashes her full expression, she comes into feminine leadership, which is like when a woman brings her desire, and sometimes that's underneath a complaint of like, you know, maybe the relationship feels stagnant and she's like, where the fuck are we? You know, I want to feel us both. I want to reconnect. Like that's the way she leads. She's so attuned to the pulse of the relationship. And for me, that's feminine leadership, a woman's ability to feel that, attune to that, and then fucking voice that. A lot of women have the first part down. They can feel it. A lot of women don't bring that and voice that. They just silently resent their partner for not stepping up or not doing the thing. And so I think I am very good at this. expressing my desires and expressing the vision and like what I'm seeing for the relationship. And then I just want to add one more thing that I do. I know as a woman, a woman that runs her own business, makes a lot of fucking decisions every day, I adore not having to think sometimes. And I ask for moments where he completely makes all the decisions. And I ask him to create moments where I just do not have to think about things. Even today, there was something I was like trying to ask him about something happening tonight. And he just looks at me and goes, I've got you. You do not have to think about that. And so that's just a beautiful moment of him going, take that out of your brain. That's not yours. I've got it. Trust me on that. Yeah, but that's not every fucking decision. That's not just like him doing that 100% of the time, all the time. I would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, like probably what I said before, like there's a part of you that can sometimes see something or feel something that I've not deepened into because I'm so focused on where we're going. Or I'm focusing on the container and tending to the edges. And what I would call like that feminine leadership, your desire can sometimes be the catalyst for my greater expansion. And the way that I see it is like the feminine is what fills the container and the masculine is what holds it. And sometimes the feminine starts to like breathe a little more than the container can hold, and it will start to fracture my capacity to hold. And that is normally an indication that it's time for me to expand my capacity. And that is kind of the relationship of like feminine is that I'm expanding my desires. The dark feminine is like literally like moving and writhing, and then my ability to like hold presence and hold awareness and like not necessarily like hold it in a moment, but hold it over time as that desire becomes real or and that's the piece. It's like my role in that leadership is like you bring something to me, I'm like, okay, well that's not actually happening in the next 10 minutes, that's the next 10 years, and I factor that into the wider awareness that I hold for our relationship. And that's how I see it. Because I would not do anywhere near half the function if it wasn't for you, because I'm so focused on all of the practical things. And I wouldn't really have any, I would have everything in my house would be the same color, the same thing. Like I would not have any variety in my house. I don't like plants in the house. I don't like different colored, I like one specific size cup. Like, one type of towel. Like, I don't need variety. I don't need that texture to fulfill me. And I think that that's the relationship that we have is like, I create a structure and I allow you to beautify it or flow through it and weave your magic. And I think there's a respect in that as well. There's respecting each other. And if any time I try to cage that or push that away, there's a part of me that's scared of being able to hold the next version of both of us. Yeah.
Mm. Awesome. You were asked a question by the German podcast, which was what the men desire from women. And that amazing answer about what women desire from men. What's your perspective and what do the role of men about what men need from women?
The one thing that I believe all men want from, especially from a partner, they want like fierce belief. Like I want the blowjobs and the banana bread and all that. Yeah, that's all nice. That's all nice to have. But when I'm standing on the edge of initiation, when I'm standing on the threshold, and she's like, "You're that guy. You're gonna do it. Like I believe in you." More recently, with me being pregnant and me wanting to lean more into like the financial provider fully, there's this like, she's like saying things like, "I trust you." And what that fucking does to my body is ridiculous. When she says, "I trust you, you got this. Go get it. I believe in you." That in itself is the most powerful statement a woman can bring with her heart. And then there's a fierce devotion to holding him to his potential in that way. Not holding him accountable, like, "You didn't do what you said you were going to do," but being like, "I believe in you. You've got this. I'm going to give you the space to go for it." And there's a deep level of respect. And what I feel in that too is that when you give that to a man, like, he'll do fucking anything. He'll move mountains to create the relationship, the life that you both deeply desire. And man, I didn't realize that nourishes me more than anything, more than all the surface level stuff. And that in itself is the, "I believe in you, you got this, I trust you, show me what you're fucking made of." That's terrible. Yeah, that would be the thing that really lights, like, for me, what men really deeply desire.
I think if you're a woman, you're wanting to practice that, yes, say that I trust you, I believe in you, you fucking got this, and you have to be so fucking discerning and honest when you're saying the opposite. And it's not necessarily you're saying, I do not trust you, but where is that the undercurrent? Like, you're driving and he turns left and he would turn right and you go, what are you doing? That's the right way. Right? Just like all of these tiny things where you're chipping away at a man and you're not literally saying out loud, I don't trust you and you don't have this, but that is what I'm fucking hearing. Right? And you just saying twice a week, you've got this, I trust you, does not void all the other shit. And this is like, this has been one of the biggest practices for me, especially in Jacob's business, because I was in business before him. So I thought, I know better than you. So Jacob would come excitedly to me and like share like a program he wanted to run. And my first response was like, oh, like, have you thought of this? Have you thought of this? I would do it this way. Like, that was literally what I said immediately. And it was just a part of me that had a kink for being white and had a kink for, like, control. But this was such a thing I had to unravel to get to the place where he could bring me something that he was going to do in business and I could say, fuck yeah, like, go kill it. I'm so excited for all the men that get to be a part of that. I'm so excited for you to provide for us, you know, with bringing that experience to life. Which I just think as a, like, hands up if you're a woman who you're like, oh fuck, I feel called out, like I'm so saying I don't trust you without saying I don't trust you. Yeah, okay. So I would just say be so radically honest in that and use the whole can I have another go at that? Right? As soon as you catch yourself, immediately say, can I have another go at that? And that's when you could say, I trust you, you've got this. I believe in you, you bad motherfucker. Go get it.
I think there's a really cool thing that you can do as a man too, is like actually take risks, not spontaneously, but go to your woman and tell her that you're going to do something outrageous and then go fucking do it. That is so fucking funny. Like if you go and do something risky without just on the fly, that can be reckless. But if you come and say, hey, listen, I'm about to do this thing and you feel her be like, and I love you, I'm doing it anyway, like, to tell me more. But if you come and bring her something out of the box crazy that you're going to do, there's something that draws her in and she feels a man that's willing to, like, challenge himself. Whether that's, you know, a marathon or whether that's, I don't know, climbing a mountain or swimming wherever, like, whatever, some kind of physical, mental, emotional, spiritual challenge. If you bring that to her and you tell her that you're the man that's going to do that, and she's like, what the fuck? You've never wanted to do something like that. I've never done anything like that. Like that's a powerful thing to bring into your relationship. And it is a really fun way to create polarity, create a woman and be like, oh, you're the guy that did that. You're the guy that did that. Oh, you're my man who's done this. It creates some narrative for you guys to play in. I think that's a really powerful thing to bring as well. Oh, yeah.
I wrote a post on this, so maybe some of you have read it, but on Valentine's Day, we were out to dinner, and Jacob said to me, oh, I found the guy that's going to do my head tattoo. And I was like, what? And I remember him told me like 2 months ago that he was getting a head tattoo, but didn't really believe him. And he wants this huge fucking head tattoo on the back of his head and neck. And there's part of me that's like, I don't want that. I don't want you to get that. Like, I don't know what that's going to look like there. I can feel the part of me that's like, I don't want you to get a hint of it. And after years of now practicing triggering him like a man that he's not going to be told what to do, and is a man that when he makes his mind up about something, he's going to fucking do it. Like, I just said to him, that makes me fucking nervous, but I'm excited for you. And Jacob turned to me and said, if there is ever a stage in our relationship where I'm not doing things that make you nervous, our relationship will end. And I just loved, like, I don't think there is a truest statement. And again, this is for the women. If you want a man you can trust, you must get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. You must get comfortable with going, the thing it's going to do scares me. is he going to be safe? I don't want him to do that. Like, you've got to get comfortable meeting the part of you that wants to control. Do we feel that? I feel that. Which is so motherfucking confronting, but again, if you still have all of those parts of you alive and, like, active and, like, at the forefront of your life, you could have the most powerful motherfucking man that is so deeply trustworthy and you will not be able to receive him. Right? Again, biggest desire of women that I work with, I want to be met by a man. So many women aren't yet ready for that because they're still playing out so many patterns of control and so many patterns of trying to keep their man in a box that makes them comfortable. When deep down, they don't want a man that makes them comfortable. They want a man that makes them feel safe, but not necessarily a man that makes them feel comfortable. Do we feel the difference in that? Yeah. Okay.
All right, we're coming up to time. Does anyone else have a final question?
Me. I'm a little lot for things like this, because I'm trying to figure out whether it's the right question to ask. But how do you maintain novelty relationships? So, especially over a long period of time, like, how do you feel like you're not like growing in your own way, but not growing in the relationship and feeling that you're maintaining that level of excitement and enjoy together and not growing into separate containers?
I don't think I've been that good at this exact in the last probably 6 months, to be honest. Like, if I'm being real with you, I've been very focused on my business and very, like, I'm very vision oriented right now because of the fact that there's a human in the next belly that I'm, like, feeling extremely responsible for. So everything for me has been about vision, business, like the 10, 20, 30 year vision for Jacob and his family. So I haven't been that good at this, to be honest. The thing that does really work for us is getting out of our environment. So we're so cliche, we love Byron. We love going down to Byron for the day. And it's so cliche, but we go down, it's something sticky that we end up talking about, whether it's, you know, at the cafe or on the beach. We did this just the other day. We went down for a day to Byron. Cried at the cafe, as usual. Our hearts open. And then we had the best fucking day, and we didn't do anything special or extraordinary, but we just did getting out of your own environment. I remember that time we went to the Sunshine Place and we stayed in that beautiful motel. Do you remember that motel? Oh, okay. But I remember we went there and we just... Yeah, we stayed there and we had... We like cooked... We didn't have any kitchen equipment. We didn't have a lot of money, but we flipped, like, the iron up and we were, like, cooking toast on the iron. We were doing... And we just... There was a sauna. We had a sauna. I just really remember those... Like, those little moments where we're creating experiences... And they don't have to be the south of France. They don't have to be in the hills of Canada. They don't have to do extremely large things to have those really beautiful moments. So for me, it's like, and I normally forget this at the moment when I'm so focused on the big stuff. But Meg has come to me and said, "Hey, I'd like to spend some time with you." And that's when we went out to Byron and had that day. So for me, it's the way that we keep the novelty alive is by continually feeding the part of us that loves to adventure outside of our norm. And that doesn't mean it has to be more extreme or amplified, or it has to keep on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Sometimes it's literally going down having coffee in Byron, or that for me is probably the core of it.
Yeah, I love that you said that. I love that you said that you haven't looked at this in the last 6 months, but not because you're saying that. But I was going to say, I think there's seasons to this. Like, we're in a season of anchoring and grounding and, you know, beginning a family. And so novelty, quality time is really important to me. But novelty isn't like high on my priorities list right now. And I think this is really beautiful when, you know, we've been together almost a decade. To just, like, trust the seasons oh my gosh, that's been so huge for us lately. Since getting a dog and being pregnant, our sex life is just, like, it has not been as fully alive as it usually is. And, like, just being, I've had to come home to that time and time again of, like, oh, can I, this is a season. Can I not make this mean anything about our connection, about, you know, the trajectory of our relationship? Can I just trust this season? And I think if there is a desire, genuine desire for novelty, it's like bringing that you know, do the desire date that we've got, or, you know, come up with, and maybe that sometimes novelty can be led a conversation, a partnership. Sometimes it's the individual, you know, it might be you, like, doing a striptease, you know, buying Eleanor's embodied lap dance course and doing that, or like buying sexy lingerie, like you actually leading the novelty, or it could be a conversation together. But I would say there's a beautiful Esther Perel quote, and if anyone knows it exactly, yeah, like there's tendencies and nods, but there's, and I'm going to butcher it if I try it, but she basically says, like, a powerful long-term relationship requires both. It needs the safety and almost like the certainty, and then also the novelty and the spontaneity. And so I think there's different seasons for both, and not just like trying to create novelty because it's like, oh my God, we need to keep things kinky and alive. It's just like noticing when that desire becomes really genuine and bringing that. Yeah.
Schedule, it's like once a month on the first Friday, we do something spontaneous. That's not very spontaneous. I get it. It's great. But the thing that we can all do, we can actually like just like check the pulse of the relationship. And if you have that as something that you schedule in for yourself, if I check the pulse, I'm like, hang on, there's the fire is actually starting to dwindle. I need to go and collect some logs and put some wood on the fire and breathe some life into this. Like checking the pulse is more important than like knowing the next 10 spontaneous things you're going to do, because that's not actually that spontaneous. So I really feel that that's a good practice. If anyone is in a relationship, checking the pulse yourself and be like, hang on, how deeply connected do I feel? How much passion is here right now? What is our relationship asking for?
I'm just going to say quickly, I also know a lot of women, and I'm one of them, that wants spontaneity from their man, wants to be surprised. Like, is there any woman in the room that wants that? Like, fucking ask for it. Like, so often we're like silently, why would she surprise me? Right? Like, I ask for that. I'm like, hey, can you surprise me with something in the next week? Can you, like, take me on a surprise date in the next month? Like, I will be very clear when that's something I desire. I'm not like silently crossing my fingers and hoping that he breaks my mind and does that. I clearly get, this is something I want in the next little while. So there is no shame in like wanting that and just explicitly asking for that. That changes a man or a woman's life, but it changes a woman's life because this, well, I know the many reasons, but we struggle to just explicitly ask for what we desire. It will change your entire relationship.
Aho.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Yo, 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 thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. Now, if you'd like to stay connected with Meg and I, you can head on over to Instagram and follow me at @TheJacobO'Neill. And where can people find you, lover?
At the.meg.o.
Amazing. And yeah, guys, check out the show notes for all other information in regards to what we've got coming up. And yeah, we're super, super grateful that you guys have taken the time to listen in to this podcast. If you do have any topics or any questions, like I said, hit us up on Instagram and we'll see what we can do. Apart from that, have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day.
Thanks for being here.
Big, big love.